Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
Hell is breaking loose in Lebanon. An all-out war must be avoided at all costs. It would surely be an all-out catastrophe. The people of Lebanon, as well as the people of Israel and the people of the world, cannot afford Lebanon to become another Gaza.
Israel's continuing to bombard Lebanon after rejecting an international call for a 21-day ceasefire. We'll go to Beirut for the latest. Then, in a major expose, ProPublica reveals the Biden administration decided to keep arming Israel even after USAID and the State Department's Refugees Bureau concluded Israel was deliberately blocking humanitarian aid to Gaza.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken rejected the findings from his foremost experts on humanitarian assistance. They had found that the Israelis had deliberately blocked shipments of medicine and food into Gaza. Antony Blinken told Congress the opposite was true so that arms could continue flowing into Israel.
But first to the blockbuster news here in New York City. Mayor Eric Adams has been indicted on federal charges. Agents have raided his residence at Gracie Mansion early this morning. We'll speak to a reporter and the first New York City council member to call for his resignation a week ago. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, War, Peace, and the Presidency. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel's rejected a possible ceasefire as it continues its assault on Lebanon. The U.S., France, Canada, Australia, Japan, Qatar, the UAE, and Saudi Arabia have called for a 21-day ceasefire as the death toll in Lebanon tops 620 people, at least 72 of those killed Wednesday. Despite resounding international warnings against escalating attacks, Israel's doubling down, with its military chief, Herzi Halevi, telling troops on the front line Wednesday, "You hear the jets overhead. We have been striking all day. This is both to prepare the ground for your possible entry and to continue degrading Hezbollah," unquote. Half a million people in Lebanon are now believed to be displaced. Hospitals are overrun with victims of Israeli attacks. This is Dr. Adel Rai, director of the Rai Hospital in Sidon.
Since Monday until today, we have received 136 wounded, including 36 martyrs. Among those 36 martyrs, 18 were torn to pieces. There are still bodies in the morgue that require DNA testing for identification.
We'll go to Lebanon for the latest later in the broadcast. Here in New York, Lebanon's interim Prime Minister Najib Mikati pleaded with the UN Security Council Wednesday to intervene to stop Israel's bombardment during an emergency session. He said, quote, "Israel is violating our sovereignty by sending their warplanes and drones to our skies," unquote. Iran's foreign minister, Abbas Araghchi, spoke from the sidelines of the UN Security Council meeting Wednesday.
"The Security Council must act now to halt Israel's war and enforce an immediate ceasefire, and by that, to save innocent lives. If not, the region risks full-scale conflict, and history will hold Israel's enablers, especially the United States, responsible. Iran will not remain indifferent in case of a full-scale war in Lebanon. We stand with the people of Lebanon with all means."
This comes as a new Oxfam report is calling for urgent reform of the, quote, "colonial and archaic," unquote, UN Security Council. Oxfam says the UN Security Council's five permanent members, U.S., Russia, China, the U.K., and France are all failing people living in conflict as they consistently abuse their veto power in their own interests, blocking opportunities for peace around the world. In Gaza, displaced Palestinians are expressing solidarity with Lebanese people under Israeli attack.
What is happening to us in Gaza is happening to Lebanon now. I have been displaced from the north for the last 5 months, and the world is quiet and is still standing by Israel. How is it the world is standing by it? In what viewpoint are they standing by them? How did they see the oppressor and how did they see the oppressed? I don't understand how. I don't know how to comprehend this in my head. This mass genocide, the massacre of children, women, elderly, and making us live in tents and crises that have no end. And now they are doing the same to Lebanon. But the war will not end unless it ends in Lebanon. If it ends in Lebanon, it will end in Gaza.
Elsewhere in Gaza, the Palestinian Health Ministry refused to receive an Israeli truck filled with the unidentified remains of 88 Palestinians killed by Israel. A distraught mother searching for her missing son went to meet the truck.
I got a call telling me there are dead bodies coming from Israel. I came running to see if my son is fine or dead. I want to know if he's among the dead bodies. Look, these are dead bodies being thrown. They throw it to the people, left them to the streets. And their families cannot identify their bodies. Here is the truck. The bodies are inside. We cannot see them.
The Committee to Protect Journalists reports an unprecedented number of journalists and media workers have been arrested by Israeli forces across the occupied West Bank over the last year. CPJ has documented a total of 54 such arrests since October 7. 36 remain jailed, including 14 held without charge under Israel's administrative detention policy. Among them is Palestinian journalist Mujahed Asadi, who was beaten along with his wife by Israeli soldiers during a violent raid on their home in the early hours of September 19th. He's since had no contact with his lawyer or family. In Sudan, the military's launched airstrikes and artillery attacks in Khartoum as it undertakes a major offensive to retake control of the capital city from the paramilitary rapid support forces. This comes as Sudan's health ministry announced more than 430 people have died of cholera in the past month. Meanwhile, the Doctors Without Borders report pregnant people and newborn babies are dying in shocking numbers after the conflict led to the collapse of Sudan's health system. Sudan's military leader, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, is addressing the UN General Assembly in New York today. Federal agents searched the official residence of New York City Mayor Eric Adams early Thursday morning, just hours before prosecutors are expected to reveal details of a federal criminal indictment against the mayor. This morning, the indictment remains sealed in Manhattan federal court. The New York Times reports investigators are looking into whether Adams conspired with the Turkish government to funnel illegal foreign donations into his mayoral campaign. They're also probing his ties to five other countries: China, Israel, South Korea, Uzbekistan, and Qatar. A growing number of Democrats have called on Adams to resign, including New York Congressmember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. We'll have the latest on the federal corruption probe into Mayor Eric Adams and his administration after headlines. We'll speak with a reporter and the first New York City council member to call for his resignation. The Congressional Black Caucus is calling for Louisiana Republican Congressmember Clay Higgins to be censured after he posted, then deleted under pressure, a racist diatribe criticizing Haitian immigrants as thugs. On Wednesday, Congressmember Higgins mocked the nonprofit Haitian Bridge Alliance after it filed criminal charges against Donald Trump and J.D. Vance in Ohio for their repeated lies that Haitian immigrants in Springfield are eating their neighbors' pets. Higgins wrote on social media, quote, "Lol. These Haitians are wild, eating pets, voodoo, nastiest country in the Western Hemisphere, cults, slapstick gangsters, but damned if they don't feel all sophisticated now, filing charges against our president and VP. All these thugs better get their mind right and their ass out of our country before January 20th, the MAGA Congress member said. Lawmakers are set to vote on the censure resolution when the House returns from its recess after the November election. The U.S. Senate Wednesday unanimously passed a resolution honoring Wadi Al-Fayoumi, the 6-year-old Palestinian-American boy from Illinois who was murdered in a hate crime last October, shortly after Israel launched its assault on Gaza. CARE, the Council on American-Islamic Relations, said, quote, "His murder is a painful reminder of the deadly consequences of anti-Palestinian hate and Islamophobia." Chicago Congressmember Delia Ramirez, one of the resolution's authors, is calling on her colleagues to swiftly pass the companion House resolution. You can see our recent interview with Congressmember Ramirez at democracynow.org. He was murdered by his white landlord. Former U.N. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has endorsed a global fossil fuel non-proliferation treaty.
The world has come together many times to tackle significant threats. Saving the ozone, banning landmines, negotiating a nuclear ban treaty. Now, we must do it again. This time, for fossil fuels, an industry that fuels the climate crisis, wars, biodiversity loss, and air pollution.
To learn more about the Fossil Fuel Non-Proliferation Treaty Initiative, you can see our interview this week with its president, Kumi Naidu, at democracynow.org. In Mexico, protesters are commemorating the 10th anniversary of the disappearance of 43 students from the Ayotzinapa Rural Teachers College. Family members continue to demand justice and accountability for the members of Mexico's armed forces and police who work with a local drug cartel to abduct the students in Guerrero State on September 26, 2014. This is a lawyer for the relatives of the disappeared.
Aquí nos encontramos presentes.
Here we are present. The movement will continue. Whoever governs, we will continue to demand the return of our comrades alive. Whoever governs, we will continue to demand punishment for those responsible. Whoever governs, we will continue to demand the whereabouts of our 43 comrades.
In Thailand, same-sex couples will be able to get married starting in January. After the Thai king signed a recently passed bill into law, Thailand becomes the first country in Southeast Asia to recognize same-sex marriage. Activists celebrated the milestone in Bangkok.
Finally, it's official. Even though it's something that humans should inherently have, we just feel relieved more than anything. I believe that many people who have fought for this bill have experienced a wide range of emotions, stress, intensity, or joy as they waited. There have been many feelings from the beginning up until this very moment.
And Palestinian journalist Bisan Alda has won a News and Documentary Emmy for her Al Jazeera Plus report, "It's Bisan from Gaza, and I'm Still Alive." A group of Hollywood celebrities and pro-Israel groups unsuccessfully attempted to disqualify Auda's widely acclaimed report, which chronicles her family's forced evacuation of their home in Beit Hanun after Israel launched its assault on Gaza. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
And I'm Nermeen Sheikh. Welcome to our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world. We begin today's show here in New York City, where Eric Adams has become the first mayor in the city's modern history to be indicted on federal charges. The news of the indictment broke on Wednesday night. Federal agents reportedly searched his official residence at Gracie Mansion this morning. As we broadcast, the indictment is still sealed, but the New York Times reports the federal investigation has focused at least in part on whether Adams took illegal campaign donations from the Turkish government. Part of the probe reportedly focuses on whether Adams pressured fire department officials to ignore safety concerns at a new 35-story Turkish consulate building near the United Nations. The Times reports Adams is also being investigated for his interactions with Israel, China, Qatar, South Korea, and Uzbekistan. Eric Adams is a Democrat and a former police officer who was elected 3 years ago. Many of Adams' top aides are also facing federal investigations. On September 12th, New York Police Commissioner Edward Caban resigned just days after federal agents searched his home and seized his cell phone. Mayor Adams' top attorney, Lisa Zornberg, abruptly resigned on September 14th. She reportedly stepped down after Adams refused to fire a number of top aides being investigated.
New York City Schools Chancellor David Banks has also announced he'll soon resign. He made the announcement after federal agents seized his phone as well as devices of several people close to him, including his partner, Sheena Wright, who serves as first deputy mayor, and Banks' brother, Phil Banks, who serves as deputy mayor of New York City for public safety in charge of the police and fire department. Federal agents also searched the home of their brother, Terrence Banks, who works as a consultant and had contracts worth millions of dollars with the city. Federal authorities have also subpoenaed the mayor's director of asylum seeker operations, Molly Schaefer. On Wednesday night, Eric Adams released a video vowing to stay in office and fight the charges.
My fellow New Yorkers, it is now my belief that the federal government intends to charge me with crimes. If so, these charges will be entirely false, based on lies. But they would not be surprising. I always knew that if I stood my ground for all of you, that I would be a target. And a target I became. For months, leaks and rumors have been aimed at me in an attempt to undermine my credibility and paint me as guilty.
On Wednesday, hours before news broke about the federal indictment, New York Congressmember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez called on Mayor Adams to resign, writing on social media, quote, "I do not see how Mayor Adams can continue governing New York City. The flood of resignations and vacancies are threatening government function. Nonstop investigations will make it impossible to recruit and retain a qualified administration. For the good of the city, he should resign."
We're joined now by two guests. Tiffany Caban is the first member of the New York City Council to call for Adams to resign. She called for him to resign last week. She's a Democratic Socialist, former public defender. And we're joined by Ross Barkin, contributing writer to the New York Times Magazine, columnist for Cranes, author of the Substack Political Currents. His piece for The Nation is headlined, "Is Eric Adams' Luck About to Run Out?" Well, maybe you've answered that question, Ross. You got that answer yesterday. Can you explain what's happening, and especially for a global audience who might not have been following over these past weeks and months, the number of people, including the mayor himself, who've had their phones, electronic devices seized, the number of people who are leaving, who've resigned, and what this indictment means today?
So there's a dizzying amount of corruption investigations into Eric Adams, at least four different federal probes, which is unprecedented. No mayor in modern times certainly has been indicted in New York City, but even the sheer number of investigations, this indictment has yet to be unsealed. It appears to be related to the investigation pertaining to whether Eric Adams acted as a foreign agent and tried to assist the Turkish government and possibly took money from Turkey. But again, that's still speculation until the indictment is unsealed today. So I don't want to go too deep into that. What I can say is that a sitting mayor of New York, never been indicted, that we are in uncharted waters. He is in great political peril. Many politicians, including Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, are calling for him to resign. He's up for re-election next year. He has said he will not resign. I do think he will stay in office as long as he possibly can. If he is forced to resign, and again, force would be political. The only mechanism to actually make him leave would be the governor removing him from office. And it's unclear if the governor, Kathy Hochul, will actually do that. If he steps down, the public advocate, which is this strange position unique to New York City, kind of, not quite a vice president, but something like the ceremonial post that is technically the second in line of succession, the public advocate Jemani Williams, he becomes acting mayor, but then a special election is called by law shortly after Jemani Williams assumes the office. The special election would be held in about 90 days from that point, and it would be nonpartisan. It would actually not be a Democratic primary. And many, many different candidates would run, probably including Jemani Williams. So that would be truly, truly unprecedented, and cannot emphasize enough that we are entering a new terrain here with an indicted mayor of New York City.
So Tiffany Caban, you were the first city council member to call on Eric Adams to resign. Explain why. You said he's unfit to govern.
That's right. I mean, it's not just that he has been under federal investigation and now we know formally indicted, or that over 15 of his associates have been investigated and we are going to see at least some of those folks have formal indictments unsealed later today. But it's really also a culmination of his leadership failures, right? This is wholly distracting. This is the biggest job in the biggest city in the country, and it demands the attention of every single second of your energy, your resources. We have seen a mass exodus of leadership positions. I mean, as a sitting council member who is the most local of representatives, to tell you that it's chaotic and impossible to deliver services to our constituents right now is an understatement. And you add to that throughout the entirety of his tenure in office, we have seen him being okay with NYPD abuses. We have seen him cut over and over again critical services like, homeless services, education, our library budgets, and New Yorkers deserve better. We need somebody who can take this job seriously, take public health and public safety seriously in this moment, and he can no longer do that.
Well, can you talk about his record in particular as a former police officer and what happened to the NYPD since he's been mayor?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, one of the big things that we saw happen was the resignation of Commissioner Edward Caban, which I just want to be clear, there's no relation. And that in itself was unprecedented. But under that former commissioner's leadership and under the leadership of our mayor, we have seen a decades high number of unconstitutional stop and frisks. We have seen, as reported by the New York Civil Liberties Union, we have seen a record number of misconduct settlements, and that's our taxpayer dollars that is going into that can't go into, again, other critical services. We have seen the CCRB, which is our civilian oversight board. There, the commissioner, again, under the mayor's leadership, has thrown out more than half of their substantiated misconduct investigations. And that has never happened in NYPD history, right? And he has also defunded that agency and several other oversight agencies. So we have a pattern of sort of preventing the council and the general public from getting a look under the hood, which, you know, makes you think about what's happening right now. So we don't even know the breadth of what's going on within that agency, but we know it's not good.
With all these commissioners having their cell phones taken, can you reach anyone?
No. And I'll give you a perfect example. You know, currently my office is trying to get a constituent help with a pretty important and serious issue at the Department of Education. I said, well, can I call Chancellor Banks? I was told, no, but FBI has both of his cell phones. I called two other high-ranking Department of Education officials, got no calls back up to this point, right? And so you can really see just really concrete examples of how this exodus and how this distraction and chaos is really impeding our ability to deliver. I'll give you one more quick example. I have constituents coming in that, you know, are applying for SNAP benefits, food stamps, and they're waiting 3 months to get those food stamps approved. That shouldn't happen. That's the difference between going hungry and having food. They come in with an approved city FEPS voucher. That's a housing voucher here in New York City. They found an apartment, and, you know, the administration has to complete their paperwork. They don't do it in time, and they lose the apartment. It's the difference between being homeless and sheltered. So New Yorkers, again, this is critical. It's like life-saving, and the current administration is not delivering.
So, Tiffany Caban, you mentioned David Banks, who is the outgoing New York City Schools Commissioner. He announced he's leaving at the end of the year. He's got two brothers. He's got Phil Banks, who serves as Deputy Mayor of New York City for Public Safety, which is in charge. And Ross Barkin, I want to put this question to you, of both police and fire. It seems like the fire department is under scrutiny because of approving the Turkish consulate in New York. If you can explain what this is all about, and although the indictment has not been unsealed as we broadcast, what this scandal's about. And then the third brother, Terrence Banks, who works as a consultant. His consulting firm has gotten millions from the city.
Yeah, so lots to unpack. Well, I'll say Philip Banks first is a very close ally of Eric Adams. He's someone who left city government about a decade ago under a scandal cloud, never was indicted. Now he's had his phone seized. He has this position, which is very nebulous. It actually did not exist before the Eric Adams administration. And the first police commissioner, who was somewhat independent of Eric Adams, she actually left after about a year because she didn't like that Banks was meddling so much in her affairs and not letting her discipline officers. So just to set the stage on Philip Banks. Whether Philip Banks is tied to this indictment, it's not yet clear. I do want to emphasize that, but there are other investigations. His brother Terrence was or is running a consulting firm that was trying to do business with the Department of Education. They had some new technology they were trying to sell to DOE. So there could be quid pro quo there. Again, there are so many scandal clouds, and it is more remarkable. And I do not see how politically Eric Adams will survive this. I don't think he will. I think the question for New York, as the councilwoman pointed out, is how can he govern? And how will government services be delivered? They weren't being delivered terribly well before all of this, if you go back 1 to 2 years ago. But now there is a sense of real paralysis at City Hall. And Eric Adams is defiant, and he is not so different in some ways than the former president, Donald Trump, where an indictment is not going to necessarily cow him. So that is that again, when I said uncharted waters before, you know, you've got a city of over 8 million people. You have a very powerful executive position. You have many officials who've had their phones seized. You've had resignations. And there's a sense that nothing can really happen right now. And the frightening thing is, what if there was a crisis of some kind that needed immediate executive attention? It is not clear that could be handled in any way.
And Ross Barkin, could you explain whether under any circumstances it's considered legal or legitimate for city officials to receive donations from foreign governments?
No, it's not. It's illegal. So if he took this money and there is a record of that, campaign donations or something else, it is against the law. And we're going to find out very soon. There should be a press conference this morning. U.S. Attorney for the Southern District is going to indict Eric Adams, so we'll know a lot more. But acting as a foreign agent, taking foreign money, it is not permitted. The question will be, what is the evidence? And also, what is the Adams defense, right? And he will be charged, has not been found guilty yet. So we will wait and see. But certainly, to get to this level, typically federal prosecutors do not like charging executives. Executives have a lot of staff around them. What you'll see is if they're corruption investigations, someone close to the executive gets charged, but not the executive himself or herself. So the fact that they're going after Adams directly is indicative that they feel confident about the case. I'll put it that way.
And Tiffany Caban, it might surprise some people to know outside of New York City, the governor of New York, in this case, Kathy Hochul, can remove the mayor of New York City. And there's another entity that can. It's a new one. It's called the Inability Committee. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so that, I mean, that committee is made up of a number of people who get together and have a vote and have a say on that process. I know that the comptroller is, you know, one of those people that sits on the committee along with others. So there are a couple of different mechanisms that could make it happen. But I think ultimately, you know, when you look outside of the official mechanisms that can be used, it's going to be political pressure that pushes those mechanisms forward. And it's not going to happen without that.
And Kathy Hochul is governor because Andrew Cuomo had to step down. Ross Barkin, you wrote a whole book on him, The Prince, Andrew Cuomo, Coronavirus, and the Fall of New York. Now, he is considered a wild card, possibly running for New York City mayor. Your final comment.
Yes, he is considering a comeback. I think Andrew Cuomo must be taken seriously as a mayoral candidate in New York City. If Adams were to resign, there'd be a special election. So it'd be a very fast election held over